Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Wow. Good Monday morning, and it certainly is for Jimmy Butler. You might have noticed LeBron walked off the floor with 10 seconds to go in last night's game, but walking off the field yesterday, the Cleveland Browns and the Dallas Cowboys could not have been feeling more different. And it's amazing what a difference a few weeks makes. Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. J. Will will join us at 7 a.m. Eastern. He was up late doing a little NBA last night. And when he joins us at 7 in an hour from now, we'll dig right into the finals. The Heat are back in it. Key, we talked about it. You were one of the hottest guys on Kevin Stefanski, even before he coached his first game. When we were debuting our show about mid-August or so, you said, look, they finally got themselves a real head coach. And then they went out and had an absolute clunker in week one, a loss that was worse than Hugh Jackson's debut, a loss that was worse than Freddie Kitchen's debut, if that's even humanly possible. But what a difference, as you said, a few weeks makes. How was your weekend? Probably not as good as the Browns.
Well, weekend was good, right? I watched a little college football. Just hung out. Weekend was good. Had a chance to see the NFL, had a chance to see the Lakers, whatever. I mean, that's is what it is, right? And so when you start to look at yesterday's games, and, you know, you obviously didn't get a chance to see – we didn't see Kansas City because that's tonight.
Tonight.
Against the New England Patriots because of what happened with Cam Newton and coronavirus. And so they want to make sure that was taken care of before they got back on the field, and they're going to get into action tonight with a doubleheader in Monday Night Football. But when you looked at yesterday's game, slate of games, you know, one that's obviously stuck out to me was the Cleveland Browns and the Dallas Cowboys. I figure, okay, Cleveland is, you know, good. They're playing better. The Cowboys desperately need this win. Although the division is terrible, they could still win the division with six wins. I mean, that's how bad the division is. But when you really, like, dive into it and you look at it, you look at the scoreboard and you go, man, they really beat them down. Cleveland really beat the Dallas Cowboys down.
They were up 27 at one point.
Yeah, they really beat them down, though, from one end to the next in all three phases of the game. And OBJ, 3 weeks ago, was on the trading block, even though they probably don't want to admit it. Baker Mayfield was, should we be looking for Trevor Lawrence? Right? That was the conversation. It's just a guy. What's wrong with them? But when you watched them yesterday, or you watched them the week before, last week, this offense is coming into its own with Kevin Stefanski. They're doing a lot of the same things that the Minnesota Vikings did the last couple years. They're running the football, and they're not allowing their quarterback to throw the ball 50 times in a game. I mean, Baker Mayfield, well, he threw for 165 yards, a total in terms of yardage. I think he threw maybe 30 times. He had two touchdowns in the air. He had about a 60% completion percentage. So when you look at those type of numbers, you would think that those are pedestrian numbers at best. But those are numbers that help you win games because he didn't turn the football over. He wasn't throwing 50 times. They also made sure, like I said many times, you got to figure out a way to utilize that talent. And they utilized it. OBJ had reverses, trick plays, Landry touchdowns, completely fooled the secondary of the Dallas Cowboys on a reverse. That, to me, says that, okay, I'm in here coaching the way that I need to coach. So when you look at the Browns, and I don't mean to bring the Jets into this, but I am. When you look at the Browns and you look at Kevin Stefanski and you look at the development of these receivers along with Baker Mayfield, you don't see that with Sam Darnold and Adam Gase. You don't see that. Kevin Stefanski came from Minnesota as a worldly offensive coordinator mind that can do some things, and he was brought there to get Baker Mayfield right. And Baker Mayfield is right now. Now he just needs to lower the commercials, get him to lower the commercials, and keep winning. And the Cleveland Browns are on their way.
So clearly this game yesterday told Key a little bit more about the Browns than it did the Cowboys.
Yeah, I don't, man. I'm with Stephen A. about the Cowboys. I'm done.
If you were watching on social media, you might have heard in our introduction this morning, Stephen A. was gloating on this latest Cowboys loss by eating milk and cookies, by the way.
So. Yeah, I'm tired. I play for the Cowboys, and I got a lot of respect for the organization, but I'm tired of every Monday having to come and sit and talk about why they didn't and, oh, they could and this and that. It's like, come on, man. Seriously, dude.
Listen to these numbers. This is where the real rub for the Cowboys is. We'll hear from Dak in 1 second, because even though he's thrown for 450 yards in each of his last three games, no quarterback's ever done that. Those are empty numbers because they're always playing from behind. Dak has 6 turnovers this season, 2 in the last five in the last 2 games. Listen to this stat. Cleveland Browns yesterday. You ready for this, Key? 24 first downs, 333 yards, 31 points at the half. At the half. 24 first downs, 333 yards, 31 points in a half.
Yeah. Now you look to Mike Nolan in the defense.
The defensive coordinator.
The defensive coordinator.
Of the Cowboys.
And you look to that, it's like, well, maybe he should have stayed retired. Right? I mean, that's the way it looks. When Landry threw the reverse pass in OBJ for the touchdown, the first thing I said is they need to call Earl Thomas and figure out how to help their secondary. Because clearly, with no pass rush, he had all day, he set up. And had all day, he set up, he had the wind up, he put the thread, his hands right around the laces, and he delivered a strike because there was no pass rush, there was nobody disrupting anything, and OBJ had a free release on the safety, and once he got up on the safety back to the corner, the safety had nothing, he couldn't do anything.
Again, it's all numbers. Dak has thrown for nearly 1,000 yards. 1,000 yards in the last 2 games. I mentioned the 450 for 3 straight games. I mentioned the 6 turnovers, the 5 turnovers in the last 2. Those are a bunch of numbers. But for Dak, there's only one stat he cares about.
I'd give all those yards back for a different record. So I care about one stat, and that's to win. So when we don't do that, no other stats matter.
Let me give you one more stat here. I know we're going stat heavy, but this division is insane. The NFC East, Key, the entire season. We're going to be a quarter way through the season after tonight's double dip. Chiefs, Pats, Falcons, Packers, the latter on ESPN. The NFC East has 3 wins. We're a quarter way through the season. They have 3 total wins.
Bad division, obviously, right? And it took the Eagles a miracle to beat the hobble 49ers. I mean, it was just like, when you look at it, what more could you say coming into the season? You certainly thought that Dallas would be better, and you certainly thought that the Eagles would be better. Washington, not so much. Giants, not so much. But the fact that all 4 teams are still in it 4 weeks into the season is pretty mind-boggling, I would say.
No question. So who did the Browns-Cowboys game tell you more about? Clearly, it told Key a little bit more about Cleveland. I would tend to concur. Vote on our Twitter feed. Stephen A. probably learned a little bit more about those Cowboys. And go watch that. Go watch that social media post. It's awesome. He's sitting there eating milk and cookies tonight. This morning, he'll have the black hat, the beard, the cigar. It's going to be great.
I don't blame him, though. Because if you think about it, Z, you're tired of every single year we come into the football season, we talk about the Cowboys. Because it's the big stadium, it's Jerry Jones, it's all of those things, it's the quarterback, it's America's team. We talk about them. But then at the end of the year, we're talking about why didn't it work out the way that we thought it was at the beginning of the year. It's like, it becomes a point where it's like, man, I don't even, whatever. I turn the channel.
Fair enough.
Put them on the little screen in far left.
Big box, little box, as we call it in TV, right? Put it in the little box. Again, vote on our Twitter feed, KeyJNZ on Twitter, and be a part of Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin Nation on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. ESPN Nation presented by Dr. Pepper. It's official. College football's back. So is your favorite Dr. Pepper-loving college football town, Fansville. Head to a store near you to treat your inner college football fan to an ice-cold 20-ounce Dr. Pepper today. So hit us up at KeyJNZ. Who did it tell you more about? America's team or the team that America is shocked by, the 3-1 Cleveland Browns? Your voice counts as much as anybody. Hit us up. Still to come. For most of his 17-year career, LeBron has been able to carry every single team he has been a part of. But after last night, do we have to start questioning that? That's on the way on ESPN Radio and smart speakers everywhere.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. 2 things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number 2, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
From A to Z is brought to you by Redbox. New at Redbox, Antebellum, starring Janelle Monáe. Stream this theatrical home release today and visit redbox.com for all the ways to watch. We're going to start with a little basketball, but not the NBA. We'll get to the NBA in just a second because there's plenty to talk about. How about the WNBA? The Seattle Storm taking care of the Las Vegas Aces last night, 104-91. The WNBA Finals, if you're not familiar, is best of five. So now Seattle has gone up 2-0. The Storm will try to close out their second title in 3 years. Tuesday night, Game 3, 7 Eastern on ESPN. So what can the Aces do to get back in the series? Asia Wilson, their best player, and the WNBA's MVP will join us at 9:45 this morning. On the other side, Sue Bird, one win away from becoming the 10th player in the history of the league to win four titles. WNBA season down there in Bradenton as the fellas are at Walt Disney World. The NFL and the NFLPA investigating whether the Titans violated the league's virus-related protocols. Sources are telling Adam Schefter. The Titans, as you know, have had six straight days of positive tests, 18 members of the organization testing positive for COVID-19 just in the past week. The Titans are scheduled to play the Buffalo Bills in Nashville in 6 days, but that game obviously is in jeopardy. There is no timetable on when the Titans facility will even reopen. And one more NFL note, moments after the Rams' hard-fought win over the Giants, very physical game, Jalen Ramsey and Golden Tate. Tate, the Giants wide receiver, Ramsey, the Rams all-world cornerback. Healy, chuckling here, engaged in a fight near the 50-yard line. This was a very chippy game throughout. There is some personal drama here.
Yeah, very personal.
Ramsey and Tate have a public feud regarding a family situation. Ramsey has two young daughters with Tate's younger sister. And even though it got chippy right after the game, if you were watching it, big midfield scrum, according to our Jordan Renan, who covers the Giants 24/7, 365, it could have been worse because, get this, Key, Ramsey was waiting outside of the Giants locker room for Tate to emerge, but round two of this fight gladly was avoided. And that's A to Z. Straight to the point. Jimmy Butler, 40-point triple-double in the NBA Finals, the only two other guys that have ever done it. One guy on the other sideline, LeBron, has done it, walked off the court with 10 seconds to go, which is what Mark Jackson, you just heard there, not a good look. The other one, the logo himself, Jerry West. Here's some straight talk from Doris Burke. LeBron had 8 turnovers, AD at a paltry 15 points, and she says Frank Vogel needs to press him.
If I'm Frank Vogel, I know exactly where I'm going on the film. Multiple times where LeBron and AD don't make it above the free throw line. Those are my two first teamers. Those are the two who set the tone. A level of desperation must be required from them. I go back to the story on .com today with Zach Lowe. They hold each other accountable. Should be some hard discussions this evening.
Fair enough. Keep in mind, we got the next game of the series with the Lakers having an opportunity to take a commanding 3-1 lead Tuesday night, 9 Eastern on ABC. LeBron, for his part, said, quote, "I'm not concerned," considering obviously they do have the series lead. But what is concerning, Key, I mean, no, you're a hardcore Laker fan, dyed in the wool, purple and gold. It's not what Butler did. It's the fact that the Lakers were able to get run over when two of the Heat's most important players, Bam Adebayo, their young stud, and Goran Dragic, their 34-year-old old sage guy, didn't play. They could be back tomorrow night. Butler put it all on his shoulders. There was a great social media meme going last night. I don't know if you saw. After Butler went to the cup late in the game, looked right over at LeBron and said, "You in trouble. You in trouble." Said it right to him. I love the moxie. I know they're still down in the series. What are you thinking right now as a Laker fan?
Well, look, I look at it from the beginning when I said that they would win in five. They would win two, lose the third, and then win the next two. So far, I'm on track, right? But it is a little disturbing because the first two games, Anthony Davis, and not to put this all on AD because LeBron certainly has some issues in the game yesterday as well. Eight turnovers is not something that you would traditionally see from a LeBron James. But when you look at AD putting he put up nine shots yesterday. He gave us 15 points. But more concerning with Bam Adebayo not in, he only had five boards. Like, why aren't you using your physical presence on the blocks and taking advantage of that situation? And then we don't get anything from Danny Green.
2 points.
Like, nothing. 0 for 6. 0 for 4 from 3. He got the 2 points at the free throw line. Like, we got nothing from him. Then when you look at it, KCP, we got nothing from him. Like, dude, y'all starting. Y'all there for a reason. You can't put everything on LeBron and AD. When they're struggling, you've got to step up like you've done in the past. And so when you look at it, you know, I heard what Mark Jackson said about LeBron leaving with 10 seconds. I don't think that that was about the Heat more so than about his teammates in the way that they were all playing. I'm leaving because I don't want to be a part of this and we got to get it fixed. I think that's what that was about. Not Jimmy Butler telling him, you know, whatever it was that he muttered to him about being in trouble. Clearly, the Lakers are not pressing just quite yet, but I think that they're going to go back. They look at what they did wrong, make that adjustment, come back on Tuesday and try to clean it up.
In LeBron's defense, if you were watching the final few seconds of that game, it's not like the Heat were trying to score. The game was already decided. The Heat were just sort of running out the clock, and LeBron just sort of said, all right, I'm out of here. It's not like it's the end of the series. I'm not going to shake or fist bump with anybody. The series isn't over. It's just the game, and clearly the Heat were just running out the clock, and it wasn't that big of a deal. But if you look at the situation for what it is, I think you really have to step back and say to yourself, this is something you brought up a little earlier, and I was fascinated to hear this. Basically, in his 17-year career, when he's had to put the team on his back, he's been able to do it. And this postseason, when he's needed AD from time to time to put the team on his back, not consistently, AD's been able to do it. But you kind of feel right now, in this moment, it's just one game, LeBron is going to need some help. For as great as he is, he's not going to be able to do this by himself.
You need some help. I mean, he's gotten through championships with help. Let's not forget, Kyrie Irving did help him win the championship in Cleveland. In Miami, Bosh Allen and Dwayne Wade helped him. Mm-hmm. Yes, he got the accolades, but he helped him. There's no question about it. You need help. And if he goes out there and have another clunker and nobody else steps up, they're going to get run out of the building again. I mean, that's just the reality of it. Let's be real now. We love LeBron to death, and I love him to death, and he's a Laker and all that, but he needs help. And when you're trying to pass the torch to AD, and AD's giving you what he's giving you, 6 of 9, 15 points, 5 boards, we can get that from somebody else. We need that 26, we need that 10, we need them 3 blocks. That's what we need from him.
Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Still to come, you know. He's watching.
You're here on time. That's
he's
good.
Waving to himself.
I'm waving
Will
to
Jay
Will.
Jay Will us. Good morning. We'll have him here coming up in just a little bit over a half hour. Still to come. Surely you know the Chiefs and the Pats game has been moved to Monday night in Kansas City. So why are the Pats still in Foxborough right now as we speak on game day? That's on the way.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
That was the voice of the Cowboys, Brad Sham, and that was a sham of a performance from the Cowboys yesterday. They tried to make their usual miracle rally like they did against Atlanta. They were down 27 yesterday. Key J is with us as well this morning now. They cut it to 3. Dak was throwing for 1 million yards. Didn't matter.
Nope.
It was all Cleveland, and they are 3-1.
Earl Thomas on line 2. Earl Thomas on line 2, Key.
Should get him on line 1 right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, that would be. Line 1. They need to try to figure it out, right? Dust him off, see what if he has anything left. I mean, they need some help in their secondary badly.
The only saving grace this week for the Cowboys, they do host the New York Giants, who are still looking for their first win in the Joe
I just
Judge.
Got here. Really, I just got here, and you're already throwing jabs. Okay.
I can't come up with anything positive. I got to say something. It's been tough. They played hard yesterday, 17-9, that's for sure. But the real drama probably came after the game for the Giants, if you've been following that story. Let's go right to the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line and bring in ESPN NFL front office insider Mike Tannenbaum. Mike, you just heard the voice of the Cowboys, despondent. Give me your voice, your thoughts on how concerned you are about America's team right now at 1-3.
Yeah, very concerned. Well, we could talk about all the offensive production and all the great stats that Dak Prescott and that offense is putting up, guys. On the other side of the ball, they simply can't stop anybody. And when you look specifically what happened, their two linebackers, good players, Leighton Vander Esch and Sean Lee, are both out with injuries again. They are really struggling in stopping the run, getting into the right depth and zone coverage. And until they could fix that, nothing else is going to matter. They're going to put up a lot of yards because they're going to be behind. But what was so dispiriting yesterday was when everybody knew that Cleveland was going to run the ball, Cleveland was able to run the ball.
Mike, when you look at another team in the NFC, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, after week 4, what are your expectations for them now? Now that we see Brady, the real Brady.
Yeah, Key, my trajectory is going up. And here's why. Here's what's remarkable. If the three of us were talking yesterday before the game and we said that Tom Brady threw 5 touchdown passes to 5 different receivers, we would be like, Gronk for sure had one of those 5, and he didn't. And they lost a really good player yesterday in O.J. Howard, it sounds like for the season, unfortunately. And I think they're going to keep getting better and better. And as you talked about, he's getting more comfortable. They have to stop throwing the ball outside the hash marks. That's not what Tom Brady does well. He's more of a between the numbers with tight ends, slot receivers. But the other thing I think we're going to be talking about is the name of Todd Bowles. I think he's going to be a hot name coming down the stretch to be a head coach again. I thought he did a little bit of an underrated job with the Jets. They have a great defense. And the more postseason success they have, I believe Todd Bowles will be on a short list of a number of teams next year.
Mike, what should the NFL be investigating in Tennessee?
Yeah. Hey, Jay Will, by the way, shout out to you. No load management for you. Last night I go to bed, I'm watching you about the NBA, and here you are, 6:36, fresh and ready to go. So no load management for you.
No Kawhi Leonard, no Kawhi Leonard over here, Mike.
I'm a big fan of Kawhi. But anyway, as it relates to Tennessee, I think what the league's going to say, and jointly with the union, is this. If they find any violation of protocols, they're going to come down really hard because they need to send a message. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw a suspension or even a loss of a draft choice, because it seems like this is a real isolated case in terms of we saw A.J. Terrell of Atlanta test positive, but that was one case. Hopefully in New England it was Cam Newton, and hopefully that's one case. So we know the protocols are working. If they find a violation of the protocols, I think we're going to see very significant punishment, so all 31 teams fall in line.
Mike, New England Patriots and Kansas City Chiefs was rescheduled for tonight. When you look at the situation, obviously Cam in the COVID-19, they had to postpone the game, move it to tonight. So in comes Brian Hoyer as a starting quarterback and no Jared Stidham. How will Kansas City have to prepare different for Hoyer versus Stidham versus Cam Newton?
Yeah, Key, that's a great question. I think you take out all those quarterback runs, the RPOs, because that's not what Brian Hoyer does well. But here's what he can do. He's been in the league since 2009. He has 38 starts. He could get New England through the game, meaning he could get to the line of scrimmage. He could check in and out of plays. Now, it may not be, again, those direct runs, but it could be running to the strong side or the weak side. It could be checking run to a pass. He's very smart. He's been there multiple times. So he gives them the best chance in this really weird situation to start over Stidham. If they had 3 to 4 weeks, maybe it's a different story, because I think Stidham has more ability to get the ball down the field and has more talent. But in this weird situation, Hoyer gives them the best chance tonight, but clearly massive advantage to Kansas City. And as you guys already alluded to, the fact that New England's traveling on game day makes it that much harder.
One thing that also needs to be taken into consideration here, people were so hot on Stidham. A lot of people haven't noticed he hasn't been active for the first few weeks of the season. So the idea that he would start tonight when he's been inactive for most of the season leads you to believe that it was Hoyer all along. Mike, thanks very much. We'll see you next Monday morning.
All right, guys. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Great to have the inside of the front office insider, Mike Tannenbaum. If you're a big baseball fan, hang tight. You know the American League Division Series starts today. We'll talk to Eduardo Perez coming up in 7 minutes. Key, take me inside the mind of a player. It is extremely rare for a team to travel on the day of a game. They're obviously going to Kansas City. They're getting tests this morning, as Mike mentioned and I had alluded to before, two separate planes to make sure anybody associated that was close to Cam can be quarantined in and amongst themselves and not infect the rest of the ball club. The NFLPA and the NFL had to sign off on this unprecedented move. What's it like to travel the day of a game?
It's very difficult. I've only done this in the preseason one time, mm-hmm. and it was short. We went from Tampa to Miami, but the day of the preseason game. And we checked it to a hotel, but we didn't check it to any rooms. We were just basically hanging around the hotel, you know, going through meetings and walkthroughs and films in the hotel, but not in rooms. They rented out a ballroom, and we were all just chilling, waiting to get on the buses to go to the stadium. Something similar, I could see New England doing something very similar to that, because they're only going to be there for a short period of time. You don't want to get out of your routine, number one. Your mind, your body tells you, okay, I go in on a Sunday to play on a Monday night. So I'm fully rested. I'm relaxed. I'm in my hotel room getting some rest, getting some sleep. It's going to be different. It's going to be majorly different for them. And you'll be able to tell, based when you watch tonight, you'll be able to tell that they're out of their comfort zone.
How about the anxiety from the coaching staff? I mean, you imagine a guy like Bill Belichick, who every day, talk about routine, Key, likes things a certain way, likes his preparation, does all of his due diligence, always scheming some of the most incredible schemes we've ever seen in the history of the NFL. The anxiety that these coaches must have, depending upon if you find out if somebody is actually asymptomatic or they test positive the day of the game. Like, it can change up your whole preparation for your approach to how you want to play the game in the first place.
Well, if anybody, Bill Belichick will be prepared. I mean, whoever is replacing whoever, if something happens and they need to remove a player, that next person will be prepared. I mean, that's just the facts of when you're in New England and you're a New England Patriot player, he's going to have you prepared. Now, whether or not you pay attention, that's one thing, but you're going to have all the information to be successful.
Here's some interesting facts on the Titans situation now with the 18 personnel, team, and organization stricken with COVID-19. The NFL has clearly come out and said, could be from legality, could be from a little CYA-type situation, they've clearly come out and said, it's not the protocols that are the problem, it's the flouting of the protocols. In other words, our rules are stringent, dudes just aren't following them. How severe is it, guys? Jay, the NFL has requested security camera footage from the Titans facility to make sure, maybe Vrabel doesn't have his mask on the field. That's one thing. But are guys walking around the hallways, or guys going to the training room, or guys going to the cafeteria, or guys doing all of this not wearing a mask? They want that level of detail.
Here's why I think it's going to be a struggle for us to finish the season. And granted, it's going to be asymmetrical. But sports are a microcosm of society, Zubin.
Yeah.
Look at our society.
Yeah.
We still live in a society. Some people don't want to wear masks. Some people want to wear masks. You have no idea where you're getting. I have one of my friends who literally was at dinner in Miami outside with two friends who didn't have it, got it. You don't know what's happening. And guys being, it's what happens when you're not in a bubble. And I know it's hard for the NFL to be in a bubble, but guys still being able to go home, be with their families. Some kids are in school. Some kids are not in school. Some, you know, parents, your wives, sisters are still going to work. You're still interacting with family. There's so many outlying factors here that are going into this.
And I think, you know, in terms of finishing the season or not, I think that they're going to continue to monitor the situation and attack it as such as things come up. Much like the NBA, much like Major League Baseball, as things come up, they will address it. I mean, you talk about the New England situation, the Cam Newton. How he got it, we'll never know, right? We just don't know.
Right.
But they were able to test everybody multiple times, something that the New England Patriots had been doing all along anyway with their organization. They've done it different than a lot of other organizations. So when you move from a Sunday to a Monday, and if they had to move to a Tuesday, the NFL was going to make sure they moved to a Tuesday to get the game in. It's just – that's the reality of it.
Yeah, I know it's going to be a moving target, but look what's happening right here in New York City. I mean, we've had over in Brooklyn, close to 10 parts of Brooklyn being shut down due to COVID, right? It's on an uprise in the Northeast. It's happening again. So all I'm saying is as we move towards – we're in fall. As we move towards winter, people are spending way more time indoors now than they ever have before throughout the summer. Flu season, all these things are happening. When you do this, when you're not in a bubble, you mentioned NBA, but the NBA is in the bubble. MLB has been a little bit more during summertime. Granted, it is going to be next man up. I just think it's going to be very challenging. We need to get used to having a lot of guys just unexpectedly being out because they might have contracted COVID.
I'm kind of used to it, though. I you know, same thing with college football. I expect for this to happen and the next man up is going to be inserted. That's what it is. They've all, from day one, they've planned next man up. That's one of the reasons they've given them an exemptions on the roster. They've allowed them to move things around, take people off, put them on, because they expected it as well.
I don't know if I'm used to it yet. I mean, it's going into tonight's game, the game that should have been yesterday, it's going to be interesting for me. See, it's intriguing. I hate it. But, I mean, not seeing Cam Newton, that's the reason why I want to watch that game. I want to watch Patrick Mahomes versus Cam Newton. Now, not having that, I'm still going to watch the game. It's just different. It's different.
7 Eastern on CBS, our Monday night game, the Falcons and the Packers at 8:50. So once again, get the remote handy to just go back and forth. Last thing I would say is that the NFL, when they came to training camps, essentially said, we are going to be testing every single day until the threshold of positive tests dips below 5%. That's a pretty high threshold, but with the league having the money that it does and Key saying that the foremost organization in the league, like the New England Patriots, is testing every single day, there's no reason that they shouldn't be testing every single day. Regardless, they have the money, and even if it's just a PR stunt to say we care about our players, they should be doing it. There's no excuse to do anything else. Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer, changing the way you buy home insurance. Now you can go online, get a custom quote, and save both time and money. Learn more at progressive.com.
Once you get to the playoffs, you never know what can happen.
I used to be afraid. I used to be.
A wild ride that is the 2020 season.
Welcome to Slam Diego! It's a no-hitter!
This is what you're going for, the big dance. We're trying to get to the main thing and raise that trophy.
It's what it all comes down to.
A race for October like we have never seen. The American League Division Series starts today. Both games on ESPN Radio. Houston at Oakland, 4:07 Eastern, first pitch. And then the Yankees and the Rays, 8:07 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Jay fired up for his Bronx Bombers. The National League Division Series, Miami, Atlanta, San Diego, and Keys Dodgers will be tomorrow. It's a pleasure to go to the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line and welcome in Eduardo Perez, ESPN baseball analyst. All right, Eduardo, I know that, of course, over the course of time, there's nothing like Yankees Red Sox, but for people that maybe aren't paying attention to baseball, over the last few years, nobody has gotten under the Yankees' skin and reverse than the Rays. Rays on the Yankees, Yankees on the Rays, bench-clearing brawls, a lot of animosity here. What can we expect when these two meet for the first time ever in the postseason?
I know, crazy, huh? First of all, good morning to all of you guys. And I think the first thing we can see is a Rays team that's not at all intimidated by the Yankees. It doesn't matter where they were playing them, if they were playing them in the Trop, if they were playing them in Yankee Stadium. Now seeing them in a neutral site, I think it's going to be really interesting. This is probably a ballpark that could favor the Rays also, because there's not a short porch in right field, and it's a team like the Yankees, that Aaron Boone's already said, hey, we're built to play at Yankee Stadium. And that's one of the big reasons why they had such a really good home record. They understand how to be able to drive the ball to right field. Now, that being said, we saw a Yankee team that went into Cleveland and was able to also dominate there, using power to all sides of the field and also getting those timely hits. So the Rays are definitely a team that that can beat you with pitching, that is not afraid at all to pitch inside. And the same thing can be said for the New York Yankees. And because of the historical, the history that each team has had in the last few years, I think this one, if there is a series that can go five games and can have pushback from each team chirping from the bench like they've had all season long, it is this series with the Yankees and Rays.
Wow, Eduardo, let's go to the other coast and let's talk about one of the most exciting teams in baseball, the Padres. They're on the brink of elimination. Fernando Tatis Jr. hits that three-run homer. What do people need to know about Tatis Jr. and Will Myers and company?
That with one swing of the bat, they can absolutely just come down on you and get you in a hurry. They can beat you in a hurry. They can get on base. They take a lot of pitches. Tommy Pham is one guy that doesn't get a lot of love. It's because he had a hamate injury, but he gets on base. Tatis Jr., in that two spot, it just seems like every time there's a runner on base or there's a big time for a big hit, he's the one that is at the plate, and you cannot come up for air because the lineup is deep. Again, Hosmer, who has experience in postseason play, got a big hit in the last series also against the St. Louis Cardinals. You got Mitch Moreland that also has postseason experience. This is a team that has a blend of youth. They have energy, but at the same time, they have experience in having played in meaningful games. And I think that's what's really paid off for them. Unfortunately for the San Diego Padres, is without Clevinger, a full 100% Clevinger, and Dennison Lamet, who we still don't know if they're going to be going out there, it's still not the same for the San Diego Padres. Their depth in pitching has definitely been hit.
Eduardo Perez joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
Good morning, Keyshawn.
I was going to get there. What's up, buddy?
How are you? Good morning.
Man, you talk about the Padres. I want to hear something good about my Dodgers. And what should the Padres be concerned with in terms of the Dodgers?
Everything. I mean, let's face it, everything. The Dodgers are built not to just get to the playoffs, not to just win the wild card. They're built to be in the World Series and to win the World Series. Mm-hmm. I mean, every year that Andrew Friedman and Dave Roberts have been able to take their team there, the L.A. Dodgers this year are as complete as any team that has been assembled. There is not a weakness anywhere. Defensively, they can play infield. They can play the outfield. They have speed. Once they got Mookie, it was like, man, really? It was all over once they decided that Mookie's your leadoff hitter. He sets the tone in a big way. Seager has had an unbelievable season. He's healthy at shortstop. In the two spot, he can beat you also in so many ways. This is a team that beats you down as far as taking pitches. And let's put it this way. They haven't had a really good season offensively from Max Muncy and Cody Bellinger, the reigning MVP from last season. And yet they are this deep. There's a balance in the attack like they've always had. But pitching-wise, they need Buehler to give you those four to five solid innings. If he does that, you let the bullpen take care of the rest. I like the fact that they had Clayton Kershaw in the two spot there. One of the big reasons is we saw how effective his slider was in his last series against the Milwaukee Brewers. He made them look like a Triple-A team just with that nasty slider that he had working, the curveball against Yelich. He did not use the changeup at all. He used the fastball around a 40% clip, but when he used it, he was able to be effective with it, throwing them for strikes. And I only saw two fastballs get away from him. The rest were thrown with purpose. And when they were called balls on the inside part of the plate to establish the slider as a nasty pitch. I would say their Achilles heel might be Kenley Jansen in the bullpen. And it's because the lack of velocity, the lack of command, he gets himself in trouble. But Dave Roberts is not afraid to go to the rest of the guys in the pen, like Gratterall, and get saves with that nasty 100-mile-per-hour fastball that he's got in his back pocket, along with Blake Treinen.
Real quick, before we let you get out of here, I want to ask you something about the cheating Astros and versus Mike Fiers. They had that brawl back in August. What's going to happen? What's going to happen when with this one this time around?
Eddie, we got like 20 seconds.
Oh, 20 seconds.
All right, no problem. Look, don't forget one thing. Mike Fiers was part of that group, too, and he could have said something earlier when he was with the Astros. He did it. I still applaud him for having said something afterwards. So it's not just the cheating Astros from 2017, you could say, but also it was also Fiers to be a part of that. Guys, I have to go, so I know we have to take this to break. So I'm going to let you guys take the break with 4 seconds left.
A television and radio professional, Eddie Perez. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. What besides the 40-point triple-double really stood out to Jay last night?
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.